Welcome to Faith Fellowship Church, Facebook people. We're glad you're joining us. We've got some people here in the congregation this morning. The Lord's here, so we're glad you're joining us. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading from the very first verse. Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for the victory we have in you. We ask that you bless our time in the Word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. See, there really is people here. All right, you Facebook people. And we want you to come out and join us if you can. All right, Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Now, of course, that's just half of that one verse, but before we go on, I just want to say, and of course, if you got a King James Bible, it says faint, which is what that means, is lose heart or get discouraged or quit, right? And so Jesus is getting ready to tell them this parable, and this is probably one of my most favorite parables that Jesus told. It's very short, very condensed, not long at all, but it exemplifies the need to have faith in God, and it exemplifies the need to have faith because it's about prayer. And I tell you what, you can usually use your prayer life as a thermostat for your faith. Now, I want to say that again in case you didn't get it. You can usually use your prayer life as a thermostat for your faith. And you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Because if you really don't believe God is answering, you will have no need of asking. Amen? And if you really believe God is listening and answering, then you will do a lot of asking. And so you cannot separate your prayer life from faith and faith from your prayer life. And so when you don't pray, you lose heart, you faint, you give up, because your faith is drained. And so you can't separate these two. They go together. And so Jesus is telling them this parable to really drive home the reality that men ought always to pray and not to quit, not to faint, not to lose heart. And so he says to them, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, you understand about the not fearing God, but also the regarding man is he didn't care what God thought and he didn't care what people thought. You ever met someone like that? They don't care. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care what you think. They don't care. They don't want to hear what you know. They know it all and they don't care. And this is a judge. He's not a good judge. He's a bad judge. But he's in the position of a judge and he doesn't fear God and he doesn't regard man. You know, I've said to people before that I've talked to, don't you fear God? You hear certain arrogant statements made by them and you think, oh my goodness, don't you know? You know, God, remember in Daniel, when Daniel is brought before Belteshazzar because of the handwriting on the wall? And Daniel says to Belteshazzar, you know, you brought out these articles of gold that your father brought from the temple in Jerusalem. And you praised your gods of wood and stone and gold and silver, drinking out of these goblets of the living God. And he said, this is the living God who holds your next breath in the palm of his hand. I mean, stop. Daniel is, he's not trying to scare him. He's not trying to threaten him. He's just reminding him that our next breath is in God's hands. And anytime God wanted to, he can just do this and you're gone. And so we need to fear God in a healthy way. We need to have a healthy fear of God, recognizing that my next breath is in God's hands. And so this judge doesn't fear God or regard man. And now there was a widow in the city. Now, anytime in the scriptures you see a widow, we know that God is a father to the fatherless and a husband to widows. That God has a special place in his heart for widows. And the widows don't mess with a widow, right? I mean, if God is a father to the fatherless and a husband to widows, you're going to be fighting God if you cross a widow. And so So there's a great contrast in this parable. Here's this judge at this high and lofty position who fears, doesn't fear God or regard man. And here's a widow who has no one to care for her other than God, of course. And so there's a widow in the city, and she comes to him, and she's asking for justice. She's asking, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now, we don't know what happened. This is why judges are there. This is why people file a lawsuit against someone or small claims against someone. And so you go to the judge as a mediator because somebody has done you wrong and you feel you want justice. That's the whole purpose of a judge, for justice. And so we don't know what happened, but someone has done her wrong, and she's asking for the judge to intervene. Get justice for me against my adversary. And he would not for a while. That'd be a good place, I think, say, for a while. I don't know what for a while is in God's eternal kingdom. It could be a day, it could be a week, it could be years. Because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And Jesus is saying for a while. We don't know how long a while is. It's a relative term. And so he wouldn't help her. He didn't fear God, didn't regard man. Probably just blew her off, and she kept coming. But afterwards, he said within himself, and you know what that means when you say within yourself, you're thinking out loud, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this woman? Because he says, though I do not fear God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Now, we know God is just. He is a just God and judge. He's not an unjust judge. But the contrast Jesus is showing here is that if you, by continuing to press in, can weary down an unjust judge that doesn't fear God or regard man to get what you want, how much more will your Father in heaven give you what you need? Amen? And so, and then, of course, that's what Jesus says. And the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge said. Listen to what this guy said. Stop and think about it. He doesn't care about the woman. He doesn't care about anybody. He does whatever he wants. But this woman is nagging him to the point that he's going to give her what she wants. Hear what the judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now here's the key word of the message this morning. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? See, I told you, you can't separate prayer from faith. You think this is about prayer. You say, well, this is a parable about prayer. This is a parable about faith. You can't separate them. He says all of this, and then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, when we read, we know Jesus is coming soon. That's been our theme. We got a whole box of cards by the thousands to give out before he comes. So don't be bashful. Take all you want. Jesus is coming. Amen. But the question is not, is he coming? He said, when the Son of Man comes. There is a day and an hour and a minute and a second when the Son of God will appear in heaven, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Never depart again. And that's going to be a great day, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that day. But his statement now, who's he talking to? Is he talking to the people that are going to be left behind? He's talking to people who pray. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. He's talking to the church. And he's talking about prayer, but he's also talking about faith, because you can't separate the two. As I said earlier, the more faith you have, understanding this parable, the more you will pray. Jesus said, Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks receives. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. Amen? And so we need to understand that in these last days, what we need more than anything in the world is faith. Because faith is the vehicle that will drive my prayer life. That's a good place for an amen right there. Yes. Faith is the vehicle that will drive my prayer life. And when I'm not praying, I need to check my faith level and say, Lord, what's going on? Do I need to spend more time in the Word? Do I need to repent of something? Because I've been praying like I should, and I want to be a man of prayer. I need to be. I'm not as much a man of prayer as I want to be, but I'm asking God to help me grow in that area, because really, that's the only thing that's going to change my environment. It's the only thing that's going to give me the opportunity to win souls. You can't just win someone to Christ by telling them something. It takes a move of the Holy Spirit, and the move of the Holy Spirit comes by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing comes by prayer. Amen? And so it's all hinged on my faith and how my faith drives me. And, of course, right from the beginning, he also tells us that without that prayer life, we get discouraged and we quit. Now, be honest, how many of you have ever felt discouraged and wanted to quit before? I could count that on two hands or plus, that I've been discouraged and wanted to quit. And aren't you glad that God loves you so much that even when you want to quit, even maybe when you sit down on the inside, he'll like give you a good kick in the rear end and say, get back up. Aren't you glad that even when you fail him, he never leaves us, never forsakes us? And so this is to the church. This is to me. This is to you. So we shouldn't quit. A prayerlessness is a form of a defeated life. Think about that. I'm living a defeated life if I don't have a prayer life. And when he says men ought always to pray, of course, he's talking about mankind. He's not being gender specific. You know, he's talking about women, men, boys, girls, young children. I tell you what, sometimes when my kids were growing up, I saw great faith in my kids. And of course, you know, I'd like to say that all of them are in that same place, but people grow up and they have a free will. But when you raise them in church, sometimes things will just come out of their mouth and you go, wow, where'd that come from? I remember Nathan when he was a little boy. He came with me and he said, Jesus is the candle of the Lord. And I looked there and thought, where in the world did he get that from? Now, Jesus said it this way, I'm the light of the world. Little Nathan comes up to me and says, Jesus is the candle of the Lord. I looked at him for probably 60 seconds, just numb, and said, yes, he is. You know, I mean, so it doesn't matter whether it's men or women, boys or girls, how old you are, how young you are, everybody, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? Now, let's look at a couple of verses here. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So just as you can't separate faith from prayer, you can't grow faith without the Word. Amen? Just as you can't separate faith from prayer, you can't grow faith without the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, when I say the Word of God, I'm talking about my Bible. Amen? Now, a lot of people, they want God to speak to them one-on-one, and God can speak to you one-on-one. He certainly has me on a few times. I wish it was more. He probably wants to speak to me one-on-one more. I'm just probably not where I need to be to hear him one-on-one. You know, when you got a radio, you got to be tuned into the right frequency to hear what you want to hear. Amen? With all the distractions in the world and all the things that occupy our time or waste our time, sometimes we aren't tuned in to hear from God. But regardless, we have his Word. Amen? We have the Bible. Amen? 66 books written by 40 authors over several thousand years. And as Chuck Missler said, it is a unified message from outside our space-time continuum. Amen? It is the living Word of God. It's the living Word of God. And so If faith is the thing that drives prayer, then I need faith, and I can't get faith without spending time in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you're one of those people that say, well, you know, I believe God can speak to me, he can. But think about it. Donald Trump could speak to you. The mayor could speak to you. But getting an audience with those people might be a little hard because of their position. Amen? Now, I know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, so he's never too busy for you and me. But why would someone in the position of God of the universe need to give you one-on-one time when he's already given you the answers right here and you're too lazy to read it? Amen? I mean, God doesn't need to stutter. He's already said it. He's God. You know, it's good to bring God down to my level on a one-on-one basis, but it's foolish to try to bring him down to my level because I want to do it my way instead of his way when he's already given me the answers. I believe everything that I need to know in life can be found in the Bible. I really do. I mean, I'm not just saying that. I really do. And there's been so many times as I'm reading God's Word prayerfully that maybe I had just asked the Lord something about a week earlier, 2 weeks earlier, and all of a sudden I read something, it's like, oh my gosh. That's it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great, great man of God, he was a plumber by occupation, and God made him an evangelist. I mean, this man came home one day from his plumbing job, and there's all these neighbors, where all the neighbors were over at the next door neighbor's house, and there was all these people in cars, and he went over there, and the lady had died. And God told him, sit the body up in the corner, stand it up, hold it up, and begin to command life to come back into the body. Now, that takes a lot of faith to do that, you know, just to do it, much less to raise the dead. And Smith Wigglesworth obeyed the Lord, stood that woman up, commanded life to come back, and she began to cough and spurt, and God raised her from the dead. Now, I said all that to say, Smith Wigglesworth said, you will never find me anywhere without some form of the Word of God, even if it's a pocket New Testament on me. See, that's the caliber of a man of God. They are men and women of the Word. Amen? Men and women of the Word. And we need to be that because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 14:23. He that doubts is damned if he eats. We're talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols, that passage in Romans 14. He that doubts is damned if he eats because he eats not in faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, okay, so I know I'm repeating myself. You can't separate prayer from faith, and you can't have faith without the Word, and you can't not sin without faith because doubt is sin. Doubt is sin. Now, some people might say, well, you know, I just have some questions. I have some doubts. I don't think God is to the person who is sincerely seeking and has some doubts, that's one thing. But to the person who just says, well, I just choose not to believe, that's the Bible says that's sin. And in this text, in this particular context of the text, Paul is talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols. And he says in that chapter, you know, we're free in Christ. We know that this meat that was offered to an idol, and that's what they did back in those days. You know, they had this idol and they sacrificed a bull, and then they all sat around and ate the meat that was sacrificed. You know, why waste a good piece of meat, right? All those guys like our steaks, right? And so they would eat it. But some people who were now Christians and saw that and had a weak conscience, they said, oh man, that was offered to this demon idol over here. I'm not going to eat that. That would be wrong. And Paul is saying, you know, you shouldn't eat then because you got a weak conscience. We know if we're free in Christ, it's just a hunk of meat. And I don't care. I'll pull up a chair and eat that free steak. It's a free steak, man. I know who I'm believed. But he says, but if you doubt it, if you're having trouble, if you're not really at that level of faith where you can eat the steak without having a guilty conscience, and then you do it anyway, and you have a guilty conscience, that's sin. That's what he's saying. That's sin to do something to violate your conscience if you don't have the faith. And so we need to have stronger faith, because stronger faith will set you free of guilt over these things. You know, we say, I am free in Christ. That's what that's talking about. But if you are not free in a certain area, don't do it. Because when you do it, and you're doing it, he that doubts is damned if he eats. Because, and you see now the tremendous importance of faith in the life of the believer. Because you can damn yourself by violating your conscience. And so just don't violate your conscience. If you're not where you need to be in that area, don't, you know, if the peer pressure is saying, well, it's just a hunk of meat, what's the matter with you? And you go along with the crowd, but inside you're going, oh man, this is an idol. Then you're damning yourself. That's what it says. And so we need to have more faith to break through that guilty conscience, because Jesus paid it all. Amen. I mean, he really did pay it all. We're free in Christ. All right, now flip back to Hebrews. I mean, you can't talk about faith without going to Hebrews 11, right? And so we're not going to spend a lot of time here. I mean, this is a powerful chapter, and you should read it and read it frequently. Oh, I thought I was there. How am I? Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. Most of you can quote some of these verses. They're very powerful. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, oftentimes, and I've been guilty of it myself, is I put a comma after the first word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But there's no comma there. What Paul is saying to us is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, tomorrow faith will never come. The only time faith is actually faith is when it is now faith. Because that's when your crisis is. That's when the devil intimidates you. That's when the challenge is. That's when the big black veil comes down and fear tries to grip you. And tomorrow is too late. And yesterday is done and past. What I need is now faith. Amen. I need it right now. I need a miracle now. I need God to answer me now. You know, this woman in our text who kept going to the unrighteous judge was exercising now faith. Every time she went, she wanted an answer. And she didn't quit. And that's what faith is. Faith doesn't quit. Faith is now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, you know, until now faith comes in, it's all just pie in the sky. It is not substance. I told someone a while back, you know, when the Lord directed me to start Faith Fellowship Church, I didn't have a pulpit, I didn't have a sound system, we didn't have chairs, we didn't have a building. All we had was faith. And you exercise now faith, and then substance comes. Amen. And it comes from this place and this place, and this guy donated this, and somebody donated a sound system. And you know, people get behind you if you have faith. They say, well, that man's got faith. Let's buy him a sound system. Let's look for a building. And so, and I'm not saying that to boast on me. I'm saying whatever your need is, you exercise your faith and you will see substance. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, it's not faith. Amen? And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Now just jump on down to verse 4. Like I said, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gift, and through it he being dead, I can't read this morning. So Abel, you remember Cain brought his vegetables, Abel killed the lamb. And of course, we talked a little about this in Sunday school because we're talking about the sacrifice and how it was a blood sacrifice. But you know what? Hebrews says he brought it by faith. Now, you can have faith in the Grinch, and that won't count. You can have faith in turnip greens, or you can have faith in different things. Your faith has to be in the bedrock of God's Word. And so, you know, yes, he did it right. He brought a lamb. He didn't bring vegetables. He brought a lamb. So he knew the prescribed order. But he could have brought a lamb without faith, and God would not have accepted that. So it's a twofold thing. You have to do it God's way. You can't just say, well, I believe, you know, the book of Judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. We see that in today's culture. I've experienced that on Facebook. People attacking you. Look, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know, they don't believe the Bible. So, you know, faith has to be grounded in the bedrock of God's Word. But then it has to be mixed with God's Word. It has to be faith, right? And so we see that Abel was rewarded even after he was dead. It said the blood of Abel was speaking to God. How can blood speak after you're dead? How can dry bones heal, bring a man back to life after you're dead? Faith, amen. Faith. We're talking about faith this morning. And so Abel brought his sacrifice by faith and gave it to God. Remember, one day the Pharisees and all the disciples were in the temple, and they had a big round metal urn, and they had their coins. And the Pharisees loved to stand back really far, and they'd toss a handful of coins in this thing. And you hear clink, 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 clink. Probably sound like these casinos nowadays, right? Clink, 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 clink. And they did it as a show. That was the whole thing with the Pharisees. They were all about show. And then this little widow woman, aren't you glad it's always the widow woman? She comes up with her little mite, which was about 1/100th of a penny. I mean, it was so insignificant, you'd think, how could that money have any merit in the needs of the temple? And she doesn't throw it across like the Pharisees. She walks up humbly and puts her little mite in there, 1/100th of a penny. And Jesus is standing there with his disciples, and he said, see that little widow woman there? She gave more than all these others. And they look at him, and he says, they gave out of their abundance, and she gave all that she had. Isn't it beautiful how God sees that? God doesn't see it as man. God knows sacrificial giving. But you know, I believe because Jesus recognized her, she wasn't just giving all she had. She was giving it in faith. She was saying, you know, this is, I can't give what these other guys give, Lord, but you know, this is all I have, and I'm believing. And I bet you that God took care of that woman. I bet she never missed a meal. I bet every need was met in her because God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. Giving by faith. And so, verse 5, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And how do you please God? We read it earlier. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is saying he pleased God, so he had faith. Amen. Now, Enoch, of course, is a type of the rapture. We're talking about the church being raptured. I've had people say, well, I don't know if I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I said, I guess you won't go. And it's not that they don't go because they don't believe it, because they think it's a mid. They won't go because they don't believe. You see, we're going to go up in the rapture because we believe we're going to go up in the rapture. And if you don't believe you're going to go up in the rapture, you probably won't go up in the rapture because God looks at faith. He looks at faith. Praise the Lord. And then verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, number one, believe he's God, and that he is a rewarder of those who kind of look at the Bible every third day. No. Who diligently seek him. Diligently. Get in the Word. Dig in the Word. Read the Word. Study the Word. Meditate on the Word. And God says, I don't reward laziness. I reward diligence. Well, that's just common sense. You got a job and you're diligent at your job, you get the promotion. The lazy guy says, how come the boss likes you better? No, I just do my job, right? Diligent. And God looks and it says, without faith, it's impossible. You know, there's not too many places in the Bible where the word impossible is, but it's in the faith chapter of all places. That seems kind of ironic, doesn't it? That you're going to find impossible. And it's tied to unbelief. It's impossible for you to receive from God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God has to believe he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then finally, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen. Now see, it's one thing to step out in faith when you can see it, but it's a whole different thing when you can't. You got to recognize, we put Noah, and we think of the story of Noah, but boy, wouldn't I have liked to have been Noah? No, you probably wouldn't have. Because Noah was living in a culture like today, and God asked him to do something that was so ridiculous that he became the laughing stock of the known world. Think about it. I mean, you know, there was probably Noah jokes. If they had internet back then, they'd have been telling Noah jokes all over the Facebook, you know. And if you step out and you do something so radical that God tells you to do, go ahead and plan on it. You're going to be ridiculed too. And so it took faith for Noah to do something that this building this ark on something he hadn't seen. Nobody had seen rain back then. So to say water is going to fall from heaven would be like saying chickens are going to fall from heaven. You know, you would have been the laughingstock of the community. It's going to rain chickens, you know. And so, you know, back then when the flood came, there was a water canopy, Kent Hovind says, I believe it. And God burst the water canopy, and then he broke up the water that was under the ground. And so water became falling in buckets by droves and shooting out of the ground. And the whole earth was flooded. And then the rain followed afterwards. Right? But to say water is going to fall from heaven was ridiculous. But by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. When we walk in faith in this wicked and perverse world, we are doing two things. We are condemning the world, the Christ-rejecting world, and we are securing our eternal future. Amen? And so we need to walk by faith. Now, James tells us in James 2:17, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, Noah could have said, guys, I believe it's going to rain. And so I'm going to make this little pontoon here, and it just as a backup in case I really heard from God, you know, and I might have enough room for a couple of chickens, you know. But he builds this thing that's bigger than a football stadium. I mean, think about it. That takes great faith. Amen. And so you cannot say you have faith unless you show it by your works. That's what James is saying. Every time he drove a nail into one of those boards building that ark, that wasn't a nail, that was faith. Faith, bam. Faith, bam. Faith, bam. And so without works, you can't have faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we need to exercise our faith by our works. Every time you take one of these Jesus is coming cards and you hand it to me, you say, Jesus is coming. And maybe you're not one of those people that can witness as easy as others. And I, be honest, I'm not either, you know. And sometimes people get dry mouths or they feel nervous or they're worried how people will respond, you know. But you know, do it, you know, as Joyce Meyer used to say, do it in fear, you know. Just go ahead and do it anyway, right? Even if you feel nervous, because the minute you do, what are you doing? You're exercising faith by your action, by your works. I was in IHOP Friday, and I had them out. I like to leave it with my ticket stub when I pay, whether it's by cash or debit card or whatever, and leave a little card. And I'm sitting there eating, and there's a man and a woman and a teenage boy. And I'm not blaming the man too much, because I know how teenagers used to be. I had three of them. And it sounded like, from what I could hear, the teenager was kind of being mouthy, and the dad was throwing the F-bomb, every other word, back to the kid. And I was a little embarrassed for the whole family, to be quite honest. And I felt sorry for the mom, who's just trying to eat in peace, and these two are going after it. So I prayed over it, and I took three cards after I was ready to leave, and I walked over and I laid them by mom, and I said, here's some cards for you guys. And she said, oh, thank you. She didn't even know what they were, and I just walked out. Now, I don't know if they took them and tossed them, left them on the table. But, you know, it's not our job to save people, God's job. But we need to start exercising our faith with our action. And I can't think of a better way to do it than just to hand out. Our church name's not on these cards. You know, it's past church time building. Jesus is coming. Right now, we're just trying to not have as many people's blood on our hands. Jesus is coming. And so we exercise our faith by handing out a card or offering to pray for someone. You hear someone hurting? Doesn't matter if you're in the middle of Walmart. Can I pray for you? I've done that before. I remember I was praying for someone right in the middle of Walmart. My eyes are closed. And I get done, open my eyes, there's someone behind the person I'm praying for going like that, you know. We are a witness for Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world. We need to exercise our faith, and we need to use it to show people that God is real. Amen. The last verse we're going to talk about is kind of one of my life verses. I think this is one of my life verses because I can feel so, how many guys can feel overwhelmed real easy? I mean, I think all of us can at one time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I can remember the church I got saved at 40 years ago in Bellevue, Nebraska, one day, the pastor, and it was a big church. We're talking about 1,000 on Sunday morning. And the pastor said, real quick, I need about 4 or 5 people to stand up and quote their favorite verse. Boom, there's Roger. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This has been my life verse because I feel overwhelmed and overcome by the world many times. I am not the perfect pastor. I will never be the perfect pastor. I fall short, but I hold on to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, because I know I'm born of God. And I am standing on the promises of God, no matter what I do or where I go, that as a born-again believer, I'm going to be an overcomer by faith. I'm not an overcomer because I got it all together. I'm an overcomer by faith. I'm not an overcomer because I know all the right words to say. I'm an overcomer by faith. I'm not an overcomer because I have money or because I have prestige or because I know the right people. I am an overcomer by faith in Jesus Christ. He is my source. He is my strength. He is my power. He is my hope. He is my destiny. How many overcomers do we have in the church today? Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, when Jesus comes, the implication of that question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It sounds like he's saying to me, it's a rhetorical question, it sounds like he's saying he won't find faith on the earth. And I think that's entirely what he's getting at. And I can't fix the world. I can't even fix you guys. It's up to you to fix you, and it's up to me to fix me. But this message is to encourage us, let's make Jesus wrong when it comes to me and you. When he comes, let's have great faith. Amen. The rest of the world, that's up to them. The other churches, that's up to them. I can't speak for anybody but me, and you can't speak for anybody but you, but I challenge you this morning. If maybe your prayer life hadn't been what it needs to be, maybe you haven't been searching the Scriptures like you should, maybe you haven't been exercising your faith or handing out cards or witnessing or offering to pray for someone, let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pull up our faith and let's be the overcomers that God wants us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we? Whatever's born of God, whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. If you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you're not born of God, you're watching by Facebook, you're not ready, you know you're not ready to meet the Lord, don't lie to yourself. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I'm not talking about you're a Christian and you've sinned or you've blown it this week. We all fall short. You just ask God to forgive you. But if you're watching, if you're not ready, if you've never been born again, if you never totally surrendered to Jesus Christ, I challenge you to make that decision today. Now, if you're a believer, you're here, you're watching by Facebook, and maybe you say, well, yeah, I haven't been praying a lot, but the Lord loves me and I love the Lord. Well, you know, I'm not here to bring condemnation on you, but you can't separate faith without prayer and prayer without faith. And we need to have a prayer life, and we need to spend time in the Word, and we need to exercise our faith. And if that's you, it's okay. It's all right. We're not condemning you. I'm just challenging you. Make a decision right now. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll think about it. Maybe I'll pray a little more next week. You know, we need a prayer room. We need an upper room. I need an upper room. You need an upper room. We need a place to go to be locked in with God. And this world is full of so many distractions and so many things that pull us away from that. Jesus said that woman got everything she wanted because she kept coming. Maybe you say, well, I've prayed and it doesn't feel like the Lord is hearing my prayers. Don't quit. Men ought always to pray and not to quit. Not to lose heart. And so I challenge you this morning to make a decision right now that this week I'm going to rearrange some priorities. I'm going to spend a little more time in the Word. I'm going to spend a little more time praying. I'm going to actually come to God with words. I'm going to say, Lord, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I believe in that you can do this because you're the God of impossibilities. And without God, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so this morning, as we close, and I'm going to pray now, just make that your heart's prayer. Exercise your faith and see what God can do. Dear God in heaven, we come to you right now. And I pray for those people here and those watching by Facebook that we would all exercise our faith a little more this week. There would be men and women of prayer, men and women of the Word, overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, overcomers because we're born again, not of corruptible seed but incorruptible seed, not of the will of man or the will of the flesh but of the will of God, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Our name is written in heaven. One will send 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. Many will fall at our side, but it won't come nigh to us. Because we're overcomers, we're believers. And so increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. And when you come, and we know you will very soon, may you find faith in me. May you find faith in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in on Facebook and here in Faith Fellowship. Give someone a hug before you go.